The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there, with the criminals one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged with there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed have been condemned justly? For we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
This is the point. All right. That's fine. So, welcome to Christ the King on Christ the King Sunday, where we get to celebrate all things Christ the King. Why should we celebrate? Well, here's some trivia about us that makes this church community so special. These tidbits were taken from a meeting that the vestry had with the diocese last month. One of the things that makes us so special, the handwritten notes in the past few years thanking people for their stewardship pledges, or as we call them this year, your intentions to give, followed up by phone calls. The e-Herald provides needed information on a weekly basis, including the parish financials. The recent strengthening of the newcomers table and our reception of visitors. We offer not just the Father Fred Forum between services, but also now coffee and conversation with the rector when they're both here. We offer three different services every week to accommodate as many possible tastes in worship styles with a limited staff. This does not include the children's sermon that we just had, nor does it include morning and evening prayer via Zoom or the live stream. Monthly, we offer a Tazay service with healing prayers, and on the odd fifth Sunday, we have Evensong. Our community outreach includes VBS, the Trunk or Treat, now rebranded as the annual Fall Festival. And we have concerts with and without our fabulous organ. There's one coming up in 2 weeks. We have our long-standing relationships, partnerships really, with ICS, Primavera, Aviva, Imago Dei, and the more recent edition of Sister Jose's. Let's not forget the Mardi Gras and Seder dinners that we have. 6 days a week, we open our doors to 12-step programs, 3 days a week for the fitness group. Any given week, we have 500 to 600 people come through our doors as non-parishioners. all to the glory of Christ the King. With a big C, all those things that I mentioned are about us, Christ the King, small c. But truly, we do those to the glory of Christ the King. So, we're here to talk about Christ the King, but first, I have a trivia question. When did the church start celebrating Christ the King Sunday? Anyone? I'll make it easy. I'll narrow it down. Give me the century. What century did that start? 1963? There we are. Which is Christ the King. You got me on that one. So, Christ the King Sunday, would you believe it was indeed last century, but 1925? 100 years ago, Pope Pius, in 1925, created it as a pushback to the claims being made by Benito Mussolini. Being good Anglo-Catholics, we Episcopalians thought it was a grand idea and we joined in, as did the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, and the Methodists, all in response to a fascist dictator claiming an earthly kingship akin to the image Hunter Clark tried to show us last month with Caesar Augustus and the kingdom of God being turned upside down. Another trivia question. What's next Sunday? The first Sunday of Advent. Yes, indeed. We are on that short slope to Christmas. But before we get to that season of anticipation, we have today our celebration of Christ the King. Christ. It's a little odd, if you think about it. Today's gospel setting for proclaiming Christ as King. It doesn't give us an image of Christ on a throne, surrounded by choirs of angels. No, he's braced by a pair of thieves, condemned criminals on either side, fellow condemned criminals. There's no gold or jewels around. Instead, there's the rough wood of the cross, a crown of thorns, mocking soldiers, and the sign, "This is the King of the Jews," nailed above his head. That hill, that place called Golgotha, or the skull, looks nothing like a kingdom. But remembering the image of things being turned on their head, that is precisely the point. In this moment, this painful, humiliating moment, we get to see the true nature of Christ Jesus. Not as a king who saves himself, he is the king who saves others. He's not a ruler with men in service, but the one who serves. He's not a monarch who commands armies, but the one who forgives, even though they would crucify him. Father, forgive them, but they do not know what they are doing. Through his suffering, his kingdom shines through. His kingship is not in the ability to control others. It's in the willingness to love them, even to the end. In the midst of all this chaos, the crucifixion, one of the criminals turns to him and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Everyone else, the soldiers, the leaders, the crowds, yes, even the disciples, everyone sees only the defeat of the man who would be king, the man who would be the Messiah. But this criminal, this man, sees something else. Somehow, he sees the battered, dying man beside him as a king. Not the king of a country or an empire, but a king of compassion and grace. And Jesus, with that same mercy that has defined his teachings, replies, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." That's what his kingdom looks like, even here, even now, when all seems lost. The gates of heaven are wide open. Today's gospel challenges us to reconsider what it means to say Christ rules, because his kingdom doesn't look much like the kingdoms of this world. His throne is a cross made of royal mercy. And to call ourselves citizens of that kingdom, if we want to claim that Christ as king, then we are called to live as his people and forgive. We are called to be people who love the unlovable, who stand alongside those who suffer. Christ's kingdom comes not when the powerful win, but when the humble serve. It comes whenever we choose mercy over judgment, generosity over greed, peace over violence. It comes whenever we dare to say, even from our own crosses, "Jesus, remember me." The church season ends today, and as we begin again next week with the origin story of Christ, we are to be reminded that the babe who awaits in the manger is the same one who reigns on the cross. The baby that we welcome next month in Bethlehem is already our king. The king whose power is love, who is justice and mercy, whose victory is forgiveness. So as we stand before the cross and look at the broken Jesus, we should pray. And we should always pray frequently, genuinely. Today's prayer might be, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Pray that his answer is still the same. "You will be with me in paradise." Amen.